Hey Debbie, how's it going?
It's going really well. It's beautiful outside, so
Yeah,
good.
finally. It's like it's so inconsistent down here, you never know.
That's
But
true.
yeah, so thanks for joining me today. As you know, we're looking to highlight some careers within the Cincinnati and Louisville BUs this year. We definitely want to bring some more visibility to our consultants that, work for us every day and are face to face with our clients all the time. And we thought you'd be a great first person to highlight since you've been with Centric for a while and, you've been one of our local service offering leads and all. So, yeah, if you don't mind, would you just mind giving, a little brief introduction about yourself and what you do at Centric?
Sure. So right now I'm a program manager for data and analytics. I've been doing that for about a year. Prior to that, I was the practice lead or the local service offering lead or LSOL for data and analytics for about 4.5 to 5 years. And I transitioned out of that to a great guy by the name of Mike Kaiser about a year ago. So still involved in the practice, really love data and analytics, kind of a nerd that way. But yeah, I've moved on to do some program management instead.
Awesome. So, how long have you been at Centric exactly, or?
Oh gosh, let's see. I've been in Centric for about 6.5 years.
Okay,
Yeah.
awesome. Very cool. So, consulting as a career, I feel like you hear more and more about consulting and consulting firms every day. So, what was it that, made you choose to pursue consulting? Was there anything that kind of guided you down that path?
Yeah, that's a great question. Early in my career, I really thought I wanted to be kind of more of a systems engineer, systems analyst, and I never even considered consulting as an option. I thought, I would do kind of the whole engineering thing and grow up in industry and be pretty happy. And what ended up happening was the first several years of my career, I found that every 2.5, 3 years, I would get this bug that I wanted to go move. I wanted to go do something different. I wanted to learn more. I wanted to do other things. And along that journey, I kind of fell into a lot of different really cool opportunities. And people kept telling me, you should consider consulting. And I wasn't really sure what to think about that. But the last kind of part of it, I ended up having this little piece of software called SAP R3 fall into my lap. I was on the project that was one of the first organizations in the US to actually do SAP R3, first organization to get client server working. So it was pretty exciting. And through that, I met consultants and I kind of started to understand like more of what they did. And being 18 months into SAP R3 in 1995 got a lot of consulting firms really interested in you. And so that's exactly how I came into consulting through SAP.
Awesome. That makes a lot. So, that seems like one of those like when you get access to that software, that's one of those like pivotal moments in your career that kind of guides everything else and shapes your
Yeah,
path.
it was really funny. We never thought it would be at the time. We all kind of looked at this piece of software. Now, granted, it was version 1.0H. Most of it was still in German. And we all thought, man, why would anyone buy this? Boy, I wish I would have bought some stock at that point.
Exactly. So, were there any other points along your path that, whether it was guiding you towards consulting or guiding you somewhere else in your career, were there any of other of those like pivotal moments that really shaped what you're interested in today?
Yeah, it was kind of interesting. Before that whole SAP thing, I worked for Cummins Engine, and what we were trying to do is really automate a warehouse. So not a data warehouse, but an actual warehouse with product in it. And it was in the early 90s, and one of the kind of newer technologies at that time was something called RF, or radio frequency technology. And we were able to actually implement that in a warehouse and kind of got it working and got it automated. And that really then kind of secured my interest in more of that systems, more in terms of the data and how things, kind of happened and how things were set up and organized. So really,
Awesome.
really super interesting.
Yeah, that must have been cool being on like the cutting edge of some of those like the technology developments, you know what I mean? And
Yeah, absolutely.
it's super beneficial, I could imagine, learning about it the whole way and then being able to just be basically a subject matter expert on it since you were there at the conception of it. So that's
Yeah,
really
really
cool.
fun.
That's really cool. So here's a question for you. When you're working with people today in the data and analytics field or companies that are, looking for consulting help in that, what would you say are some of like the key challenges that those kind of people are facing, or like what is not only what are they facing, but what do you think companies should also be thinking about when it comes to data and analytics in 2022?
Wow, great question too. So I think one of the hard things that organizations get caught up in is a lot of the shiny objects. So they want to do artificial intelligence and they want to do machine learning, which are wonderful things to do, and they have some fantastic kind of stories in terms of what they can deliver. But what people kind of sometimes forget is why you're really trying to do that. Like, what is the end result? What is the business really trying to accomplish?
Yeah.
And when you start to think about what the business is really trying to accomplish, and you start to ask the questions, well, why can't you do that today? And what is stopping you? And kind of how does the data look today? You usually find that the problem isn't a technology problem. The problem is more of a communication and an understanding problem. So, you know, from an organizational standpoint, you know, we like to really understand what the data means. Like, if I say, you know, something is profit, how do I understand profit? What does that sound like to me? What does that look like? What does that look like to the business? And how do I get it,
right?
So it's a much more practical kind of approach to getting an end, to getting to an end, mm-hmm. than sometimes people are used to.
Yeah.
And really, like I said, it's much more of a communication and process thing than anything else. A lot of times, it's very rarely a technology thing right now.
Yeah, that's I hear that from so many of our technology consultants. It's like we'll come to clients with a proposal, and they think they're looking for that technology solution, but the other 50% of it that they don't even realize is that, you know, that change management solution or communications,
yeah,
or what you've mentioned. So yeah, it's really interesting. As I've been at Centric, I've realized that there's so much crossover between our service lines with business consulting and technology consulting, and marrying those together is so important for
a
project.
Absolutely. And it's interesting because one of my ahas kind of in the past, so I used to work for Accenture,
mm-hmm.
and one of the things that they did have was the change management practice,
right.
And I had a lot of really excellent people working with me from that practice, and we had to go through and really train some people you wouldn't expect to train in technology. Some of them were coal miners. So how do you teach a coal miner how to put their time into SAP, right?
Yeah.
How do you do that? So it's hard enough figuring out the technology of it, but then how do you make sure that you're communicating in a way the coal miner understands,
mm-hmm.
and in a way that's meaning for him so he doesn't think that it's just a bunch of, you know, another bureaucracy piece, right?
Absolutely.
And so that whole change management thing of really understanding what you're trying to do and what the objectives are and thinking through that, you know, that to me was kind of a bit of a change in the way I was thinking, especially in terms of technology. You know, never thought about how a mouse worked. So that was one of their questions. So how does the mouse work? Why do I move this thing around and that thing up there turns?
You know,
and they were asking so many questions where I'm like, oh my gosh, I had never even thought about stuff this way.
Right.
You know, you kind of have to get out of your box to really actually teach somebody something. So that's been really helpful, at least from a data perspective as well, trying to think about it that way.
That's super interesting. Yeah, when you're surrounded by technology 24/7, you take the simple things for granted. And, you know, if somebody has never worked with that kind of stuff, it really is amazing that you know, you take it for granted so much, because it's not basic knowledge for everybody. So
yeah, absolutely not. And for sure, kind of during my career, starting out in an environment where there really weren't any personal computers in
yep.
businesses, and then helping people learn those, and then getting so much farther along, it's just been incredible.
That's awesome. Well, we've heard a little bit about your career and what you do for work. What do you do for fun? Like, outside of work, what are some of your hobbies?
Yeah, so right now, we love to travel.
Yeah.
So we travel all over, and we also have started hiking. So one of the good things that came out of the pandemic, for me at least, was my husband and I got really into hiking.
Mm-hmm.
So whether it's woods or hilltops or even small mountains, we love to hike, and we have been to Mexico a couple of times to do it, and actually about to go to Costa Rica to hike in the volcanic region of Costa Rica. So very excited about that.
That's awesome. Well, I know you used to do some racing or were involved with race cars. What's that about?
Yeah, so it's funny. So many, many years ago, I got involved in racing. The person I was with at the time, he raced cars, and I'm like, man, I can't just watch this. I've got to actually do this. So I started racing something called a super street car, which was a lot of fun. It's NHRA, just drag racing, a quarter mile, make sure you beat the other guy to the finish line type of thing. And then I got into something called Super Gas, which is a 9-second car, and wasn't the, I don't know, typical person you see drag racing. Right. And so I felt like I had to prove myself. So I actually built a couple of my race engines just to prove to myself that I could.
Yeah.
And raced with race engines that I built for a couple of years, which was really fun.
Wow, that's cool. Did like, you know, learning the inner workings of the engines and everything, did that, you know, guide your interest anyway towards like the analytics and stuff like that? Or
yeah, so putting together an engine is really more like a puzzle,
right?
So the idea of this puzzle definitely helped kind of that engineering side of me and the problem solving side. But the thing that got me into the analytics was whenever you're racing, you really have to collect a lot of data and understand how to tune things, so to make your car run the way you want it to run.
Sure.
And so we had some data acquisition systems that we used for the race car, mm-hmm. and collected the data, and then I was responsible for kind of making sure I understood how to analyze it to then get the results and tweak everything.
Yeah.
So that whole process back in the early 2000s probably was one that really made me think, man, this would be fun, right?
Yeah, right.
This would be kind of cool if I could do this longer term. So that did get me pretty interested in the data.
That's so cool. That's awesome. That's like, what a fun hobby that you don't come across a drag racer every day. You know what
Not
I mean?
Usually, like, yeah.
awesome. So, you know, I got one last question for you, and I think it's kind of a fun question to end things on, and it's something we think about no matter how old we are. But, you know, when you grow up, what would you ideally like to be?
Oh, another good question. So about, gosh, now it's been 15 years ago, I was in a really bad accident. And so I was in a wheelchair for 3 months. They were thinking I'd have to be in a wheelchair again. Thank God I'm not. Mm-hmm. Very blessed that way. But as part of that whole process, I'm like, man, we just do not have this world and our homes designed very well for people in wheelchairs. I kind of realized that walking is highly underrated.
Yeah.
And so I got interested. My husband at the time was doing remodeling and different things kind of as a second career for him. And I got really interested in modeling houses or kind of designing houses for the handicapped and for aging in place.
Oh, wow.
So we are talking about, like, when I'm done with this career, we're actually talking about building houses for people with handicaps.
Wow.
Or for those aging in place, because it's just such an interesting challenge to really understand how do you kind of combine some of the really cool things we can do with houses and address some of the issues that, like, you're going to have if you're in a wheelchair.
Wow.
So, yeah, kind of a weird way to get there, but got really interested in it, and I've helped my husband design a couple of those houses, and we really want to continue to do that.
So wow, that's
kind of fun.
Really cool. That's, you know, wow, that's such an interesting answer. I would have never expected that. That's awesome. But it's yeah, I mean, having something like that happen, you can really change your perspective on things and want you to help them, those kind of people out. That's awesome. Well, Debbie, this was great. I loved, you know, as I work here more, I get to know more about you and everybody else, and this was a great opportunity to sit down and once again learn more. So I'm excited to share this with everybody else, and thank you so much for joining us today. It was really fun.
And thank you. I appreciate it.
No problem. Cool. So that was 13 minutes. I thought that went really well. What do you think? Any thoughts?